What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Coberti here, the podcasting coach, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcast. And one of the things you should also be looking to monetize is an online course, because there's just so much potential to make money creating and marketing these things. But with so many online courses, it's a little harder to compete now, which is why we have an awesome guest who transforms online courses into viral phenomenons. Our guest who joins us today, she is the founder of Live Your Message and the creator of the Experience Product Masterclass, where she helps entrepreneurs sell more online programs and get better, faster results for their students. Our guest started her career as an artist who was told by her father that she had no marketable skills. And she figured out how to build a multi-7-figure online business anyway. And she's been able to teach over 5,000 students how they can succeed online, many of whom also felt like they had no marketable skills before our guest entered the picture. So our guest who joins us for this episode, or enters the picture, if you will, is none other than Marisa Murgatroyd.
Marisa, bum, bum, bum. Yes.
Welcome to the show.
I'm going to have my own theme song over there. Yes.
It is such a pleasure to have you on the show. And I mean, I've promoted your product before. I've recommended your product. I mean, I love the concept of gamifying, focusing more on the experience instead of just throwing a ton of information at people. So we'll definitely talk about your course. We'll definitely talk about how we can take our online courses, turn them into viral phenomenons. But I'm wondering if you could paint us the backstory a little bit of how you first began to see that maybe we need to make this more of an experience-focused experience.
Well, absolutely. I have to say it's through painful, painful trial and error, because I never thought to myself, I want to create online programs and courses when I grow up. And it was actually like some of the biggest decisions I've made in my life, things that kind of found me versus me finding them. I actually remember when my now husband, Murray, popped the question. We were hiking to the Hollywood sign, and he turned to me and he popped the question. It's not the one you think. He said, you know, Marisa, why don't you create an online course? And the first words out of my mouth were like, but who would want to learn from me? Followed very quickly by, what would I even teach? What would people want to buy from me? And I really just had no concept of how I could monetize my knowledge, how I could turn it into a program. And my husband, Murray, suggested it because I was just maxed out in my service-based business. I had a branding and web design agency. And he thought that if I created programs teaching people how to do what I had done, that I would be able to leverage my time and he'd have more time to spend with me, right? And so he had his kind of master plan. And it was funny because we were hiking there to the Hollywood sign, which is this icon of fame and fortune. And inside, I felt so far away from that when he asked me that question. I just felt so far away from that success. And eventually I got over it and I rolled out my very first online program. And basically it sold zero. Zip, zilch, nothing. And so I did what any self-respecting entrepreneur did. I rolled out another program. And this time it did a little bit better. Over the course of 3 years, I did about $100,000 in sales, which is respectable, but not great. And, you know, these days I can do $100,000 in sales in an hour, right? It's a very different thing than over 3 years. But I had a different problem that I started to see, which is a lot of people, the majority of people who signed up for my program, weren't completing the program and getting the full results that were available to them. And it just mystified me that people would spend good money and then not finish the program and not get results. Of course, that's the same thing that I was doing when I bought programs too, but I wasn't asking myself that question. And so in desperation, I went up to a colleague and I said, you know, are you seeing people just buy your programs and not complete them, not go through, not get the results? And what she said next kind of changed the course of my life forever. She said, Marisa, maybe some people just aren't meant to succeed. And that felt like a punch in the gut. Yeah, your face just dropped. Mine too. Because I believe that everyone is meant to be successful. Every person, given the right education, the right training, the right circumstances, the right support, can be successful. And yet what I was seeing is that so many people weren't being successful. So I kind of made it my mission to reinvent online education around the world. So engagement and results became the norm. and not the exception. So I started to become fascinated by what's going to make a program just so sticky that people get hooked on taking action, getting results, and ideally wanting to buy from you over and over again. And I started to turn my attention to where in the world, you know, people were focusing their attention. Where were they really focused and fixated and seeing things through? And something happened about a year or so later that kind of just was the tipping point for all of these ideas. And it was basically the summer of 2016. Do you happen to know what happened in the summer of 2016?
Pokemon Go.
You know! Holy smokes, you are a bigger nerd than me. I love it. All right, yes. So in the very first month of Pokemon Go, they did $200 million in sales. And there was footage that was streaming out across YouTube of grown adults double parking their cars in the street, getting out and chasing these little virtual creatures on their cell phones. I mean, seriously, grown adults. And there are pictures of them basically stampeding through Central Park by the thousands after some rare Pokemon that had spawned, you know, spontaneously in the park. And I was watching this just completely mystified, but it painted a new picture in my mind. It painted a picture of what if people could get so excited about overcoming their greatest challenges and achieving their biggest goals in life that they were literally double parking their cars and running through the streets to do it. And I basically took that picture and I said, well, how do I make that possible? Is that even possible? And how can I make it happen? And basically started to reverse engineer what I was seeing in the world of video games, in mobile phone apps, you know, social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram with their like buttons and all kinds of stuff, as well as looking at adult learning theory, what makes us tick as adults to actually do things and see things through, to the psychology of motivation, what's happening in our brain science, to user experience design, and, you know, just good old-fashioned curriculum design. And started to kind of mash it all up together to come up with a set of 10 core experiences that when you add them to your products, and also you can add it to your marketing, when you stack them together, you create what I call experience escalation, which is a phenomenon of where people start to build unstoppable momentum from what I call mission to mission accomplished, from starting to completing and getting the result. And when you do this, what I've seen across so many industries and so many niches is that you'll see anywhere from 10 to 30 times the results for your students and customers. The industry average is abysmal. It's 3%. Only 3% of people complete programs and get results. And you're able to see anywhere from 30 to 90% when you use the experience formula and create what I call an experience product rather than an information product.
Yeah, that's a really great point. That's why I've shifted more to coaching, because you do see those really low rates of completion. While for coaching, you know, it's like a one-on-one scenario. But if you do have the experience set up for the product, you can get a lot more people to complete it, as Marisa has been able to do with her programs. And I mean, I do remember the Pokemon Go craze. I mean, I never played it because, I mean, just the thought of being in the middle of the street, like, not very appeasing to me. Pokemon was a game, childhood game, but not that game in particular. But I'm wondering if you could share with us, how do we create that kind of an experience? Because I think that's key to really creating that viral phenomenon, kind of an online course. So how do we gamify it that way? It's not like we've got little creatures running around in the course, but
no, you do not need to have little creatures running around in the course. And I had a picture of you standing in the street playing Pokemon Go and getting hit by a Mack truck, you know. Yes, good reason not to want to play that. So there's, like I said, there's 10 core principles that you want to stack in your course. There's also 10 experiences that you want to avoid, which are kind of the opposite experiences to the ones you want to create. So let me just share a few of those with you, because I know this is about a 20-minute podcast, so I won't get through all 10 of them. And it all starts with the very first one, because if you don't have the first one, basically it's very hard for people to feel like they're winning. Because here's the thing, if people don't know what winning looks like, they're not going to keep playing, right, when it comes to a game. So when you create your product mission, it's really defining the win state, defining what winning looks like. Exactly what is your student, client, or customer going to be, do, feel, have, overcome, or achieve through your program? And when that's so compelling that it's something they want to say yes to, that makes for a very good promise, a marketing hook for your program. Now, so often people get fixated on what they want to deliver, what they want to offer, what their expertise is, but they're not really thinking about it from the perspective of their customer. So I teach a very simple template to help you define your marketing, your mission statement there, your marketing message for the program. And I call it the Mission Possible template. And you may recognize it when I say this. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is blank. Now, what that does is you're speaking to what they're accepting and saying yes to versus what you want to give them. So for example, for our signature program, the Experience Product Masterclass, the mission is simple. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to design, market, and make $2,000 or a whole lot more from an experience product in 10 weeks or less. So you instantly know what you're going to do, how long it's going to take you, and when you've reached the goal. And you might ask, well, why $2,000? And that's a very good question. Well, ideally, what we're teaching people how to do is increase their earning capacity and be able to put $2,000 in their pocket anytime they want to. But because the program costs $2,000, we want people to earn their investment back. And having such a clear mission also allows us to make an incredible guarantee. So if you have a promise, you can wrap a guarantee around it, which is very compelling from a marketing standpoint. So we have what we call the no-risk guarantee, which is if you do the work and you can demonstrate that you've done the work and you don't make the $2,000 back in the program, we'll make up the difference. So if you make $1,000 and you paid two, we'll give you $1,000 back as long as you've done that work, right? So it becomes super compelling because it's very clear what the result is. And we can focus the entire program on getting that result. So nothing goes in the program if it's a detour or distraction from the result. And that makes product creation actually a lot more easy. And it also makes consuming the product a lot more easy because people know what they're going after. Now, of course, a lot of people make a lot more money. And we've had people make up to $400,000 in this program. But for some people, $2,000 is a big deal. For other people, it's not a big deal. But it does feel good to earn your investment back. So you know you basically are taking no risk and you're kind of breaking even at the very least while creating an asset. So that's one of the things that's really important, having a mission, because the opposite of that is trying to serve too many masters with your program. And so many courses try to, like the kitchen sink program. And I know with my very first program, the one that only did 100,000 in 3 years, every single module of the 7 was on a completely different topic. Could have been, I mean, it was all related to growing your online business, but each one could have been its own product. Mm-hmm. And it was just too big for people to complete.
Makes sense? That's a good point. You don't want to make it too big because like the nature of video games, like I've played a ton of these and I see how it connects with the courses. You want to feel like you're making progress. You want to feel like you're able to complete quickly, not too long, but you know, enough for it to be a challenge. So I definitely like that angle and just being really focusing all in on that one major result you want people to get. And it's a very specific result. It's not a general result, like achieve this general outcome where there's like thousands of different ways to achieve it. It's, Marisa has a very specific approach. You create this course, you make $2,000 or more, and that's the mission. So I do find that very fascinating that it's a change in the way training courses are created. Regarding the inner workings of the training course, like how do you structure that with the videos? Is it the same as like an info course, except now we're just more focused on making $2,000 in 10 weeks, or are there different things going on inside?
There's definitely some dynamics at work that go beyond the standard information-based product. So to your point about a game, right? That you want to, you know, make it not too hard, not too long, all of those things. So that relates to what I call core principle number 9, like which is unstoppable momentum. And unstoppable momentum is ramping people up from small, simple wins that lead to small, you know, small actions basically that lead to small wins to larger, more challenging actions that lead to larger wins and more exciting wins, right? And so, for example, it's well known that there's something called the skill challenge ratio. Basically, it's well known that when someone is at 4% greater level of challenge than their current level of skill, they can reach a flow state where they're being pulled forward. It's not so challenging where they melt into a puddle of overwhelm and all of that and insecurity, but it's enough that they're excited by the challenge where they're rising to the occasion. So if you think about that, you don't want to drop people into the deep end of the pool. And a lot of times what happens in programs is people either start with the most boring stuff, or they start with something that's too big of a challenge because they're considering the program as kind of like a linear progression. So even though I'm taking people from mission, saying yes to the mission, to mission accomplished, it's not a linear progression. Instead, I structure the program in a way that's going to support them in gaining momentum. It's based on motivation versus logic. Does that make sense? Instead of the linear progression of materials, I'm doing it based on what is going to keep them motivated and in momentum, right? So for example, I had a student who was building a course to help musicians get their music on TV, right? And the very first thing they had them do was to actually fill out all the paperwork to be listed, you know, to be findable by these different TV producers. Now talk about dropping people into the most boring stuff. Like the first thing you're going to do is do a bunch of paperwork, right? Now, a lot of people, especially creative musicians, you know, that's not going to be what they want to do first. So what I recommended she do is create what I call, the second principle is future self. So before you get into the how hole, you want to create a compelling future self of what their life will look like. And it's not just a future self for the program as a whole, but for every individual piece where people know what their life is going to look like after they complete their piece. So for example, rather than starting people with paperwork, I would start someone with choosing your dream 20 list of the top 20 shows that if you were on any one of these shows, your participation in this program would be a huge success. And I would take this one step further. You want to make that very first engagement or interaction with you fail-proof. So even if someone has no experience, they've never been on the internet before, whatever, they have no research skills, they could still complete this. So what I would do is actually compile a list of, you know, say all 1,000 TV shows that are accepting submissions and then sort them alphabetically. And I have another one that's sorted by genre. So if you're into classical music, this is the one to go to. If you're into pop music, these are the ones that might be a good fit for you. And then give it to them and have them choose their dream 20 list. And so as they do this first exercise, which is fail-proof, you can't fail it because a list is already provided, they're actually imagining their music on these shows. So then when you get to, say, later on in the program, listing yourself as a musician on all these sites and doing all this paperwork, there's a reason you're doing it. You haven't gotten in the how hole from the beginning. There's a compelling why, a future self vision, propelling you through the more dry, boring, challenging pieces of it. Making sense?
Yeah. And it is very interesting how you do. I mean, it's good to pay attention to think about what are some of the areas that could be a little dry and filling them up with a little life, because it's a dry stuff where it could be like people, because a lot of people, they don't watch the entire course, but they do make an attempt. And if their version of like make an attempt is the dry stuff, even if the rest of your content's really awesome, they're going to just think the rest of it is dry and not watch. So even if you do, I mean, when someone gets to your course, like you do get the money, like you, it's a purchase, but you do want to know that you're leaving an impact, which has been very consistent with what Marisa has been saying in this interview. You want to have that impact on the person, not just their money. And by really changing the experience, that definitely comes more possible. I'm wondering if you can share with us some of the habits, just to sidetrack a little bit, but something I love asking people. I wonder if you can share some habits that have been really essential for your success.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the main one for me is honestly just the ritual of my day. So having the block time, understanding, first of all, my own body rhythms and when I'm most productive, and then blocking time for writing and content creation during those times. So I'm a morning person. So when I start writing by 7 or 8 a.m., I can write for like 3 or 4 hours straight and get massive amounts done with no distractions. So I have to shut email, I have to shut Slack, I have to shut Messenger, and like nobody disturbs me. Talk to the hand, people. You know what I mean? And when I do that, our business grows by leaps and bounds. And the other thing is, someone who's a creator, is I love that. That's my flow state. That's what I live for. So if I have that time, Then after lunch, starting at 1 o'clock, I'm willing to be on whatever phone calls I need to, managing my teams, you know, jumping on webinars, which I still love to do. I love to talk as much as I love to write and create, but doing all of these other things, that's when the world gets a piece of me, between 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and then I'm out, right? So that kind of really helps me kind of be in my groove and make sure I have time for the important stuff and not just the urgent stuff, not just all the people pinging me requests nonstop and all the different places people ping me requests these days, right? So that's key. It's like really guarding my time and intention, like my life depends on it and my business depends on it, because it does.
Yeah, I love that idea of guarding your time. And I feel like some people, like, you know, if they get an interview, it's at a, like 9 a.m., for instance, they make it happen. They make it work at the expense of their flow. And just based on, like, I mean, I don't do any kind of calls before 11 a.m. There's just one day a week where I'll do client calls, but that's pretty much it. So you really have to get clear on like defending your time, thinking about what activities you need to be doing and when, like, because for some people, like, I'm really great similarly, right? Creating content in the morning. I'm really great at doing interviews in the afternoon. I'm really great at doing videos in the evening, and marketing, that's more of a morning into afternoon thing. So you definitely have to look at what activities you like to do and when, and really guard your time, as Marisa mentions.
Absolutely.
And for people who are wondering it, because I feel like people should be checking out your course or at least your info and your work. So where are some of the places we can go to see what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I put together my viral product checklist, because we only talked about two of the 10 core experiences to create that experience escalation where people are hooked on your programs. And the reason why that matters is that not only will your refund rate go down, but your initial sales will go up as your reputation goes up. And also you have more people referring you, and your lifetime customer value is going to go through the roof too, because when you help people get results, they're going to want to buy from you over and over and over again. So I put together the 10 core experiences in the viral product checklist. So if you go to liveyourmessage.com/mark with a C, that's liveyourmessage.com/mark, MARC, then you can download that, and that'll put you on our list, and you'll kind of get some more information too about the program from there.
Oh, all those links and more will be in the show notes. Also, markcabrera.com/strategy if you guys want to talk to me, see how I can launch, grow, monetize podcasts, see how we can work together. But once again, Marisa, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure having you on Breakthrough Success.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Marisa, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. And in the next episode on Breakthrough Success, for anyone wondering, we're going to talk about the freak factor, which can help you unleash your inner freak and discover your unique potential. So there's plenty of really awesome insights coming up in the next episode as well. And there's been also a lot of great insights in Marisa's episode as well. So make sure you do check out the show notes because there's a lot of awesome stuff in there, as we've talked about already. And in the meantime, in between episodes, one book that you may be interested in taking a look at is The Consultant's Code. The Consultant's Code has helped experienced consultants, those entering consulting, employees that are responsible for internal consulting within their organizations, and business owners. Using the approaches taught in The Consultant's Code will help you improve your career and relationships, which can result in higher earnings, more gratifying, rewarding, and challenging opportunities. The author, Andy Fry, has been in the consulting industry since 1997. As a CPA and PMP, he has helped numerous companies do their IT and business improvement initiatives. Andy shares his 20-plus years of experience, as well as advice he has gathered from many highly successful professionals and personal mentors, all in his book, The Consultant's Code. That does it for this episode of Breakthrough Success. And what I want you guys to do is to dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.